You're listening to Family Personalities, a podcast where we use personality type to help change the way you think about your family. I'm Sandra Etherington, your personality type practitioner.
And I'm Em Levy, personality type enthusiast.
Join us while we talk about family, relationships, and parenting, all within the context of personality type. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Family Personalities podcast. If you're new to the podcast, normally I talk a lot about the Myers-Briggs personality types, as that is where my training lies. However, I find the Enneagram really helpful, really interesting, really beneficial. And so we talk about that a lot too. And I like to bring in someone who is officially trained in Enneagram sometimes when we talk about it. And so that is exactly what I did for this episode. Today, we're going to talk about how the Enneagram types are dealing with the pandemic as parents. And I brought in Melissa Corkum. The first time she recorded with us was in our series on Enneagram parents, and she was on episode 8 to talk with us about Enneagram types 7, 8, and 9 and how they show up as parents. Go ahead and check out that series if you haven't already, episodes 5, 7, and 8, I believe, are where we talked about the 9 different types of Enneagram parents. Today we went specifically into how the 9 types are dealing with the pandemic as parents, and Melissa has helpful tips for each type. She is a certified life coach, an Enneagram coach, an essential oil specialist, and an Empowered to Connect parent trainer. She's helped dozens of parents shift to a brain-based view of behaviors so they can find more effective solutions besides threatening and punishing and become confident parents. She's a mom to 6 kids by birth and adoption. Parents can connect with her at thecorkboardonline.com, and she also co-hosts the podcast, The Adoption Connection. So, let's dive in. Thank you so much for coming, Melissa.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Yeah, we had so much fun with you last time. And for listeners who haven't listened to that episode, go back. We have a whole series on Enneagram parents. And on the very last one, Melissa joined us. And it's just really great to have someone who's trained in it to be able to add some extra insights that we're not aware of. But it's been, when was that? Was that in April that we recorded?
It's May? Been a couple months. I feel like it was still within COVID season, but a while back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's been going on with you guys since then? Are you guys coping okay?
We did. I think the biggest thing we did is my husband took the time of not having to commute and do a lot of the extracurriculars that our kids are involved in. And we redid our master bath. It's been a project that's kind of been in progress, as in like the demolition's always easy, right? So we demolished it like a while ago, and it's just been kind of sitting like in dire need of finishing. And oh, no. So all of this downtime kind of was the perfect reason and gave us the time and some space to do that. So that project is finished and I feel pretty good about it. Yeah.
Cool.
How about you?
Yeah. I mean, same here. We just been, my husband usually travels a bunch for work and he's been here. And so, you know, doing little projects that he usually doesn't have time for. But all things considered, we've been doing really well. Things could be a whole lot worse. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So why don't you reintroduce yourself to everyone? Kind of, who are you? What do you do? Tell us about your family.
So my husband and I live just north of Baltimore. We have 6 kids. 4 of them joined us through adoption. And so I'm a parent coach, and that came out of a lot of our experience with our kids. And in hindsight, I wish I'd had the Enneagram 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I have a big passion with helping parents really understand the brain science behind behaviors. And mm-hmm. I have pulled in as many tools as I possibly can to help make that happen. The Enneagram has been a big part of that and understanding some of the motivations. So help parents manage their kids' challenging behaviors through all of these brain-based tools, and starting to also branch out into kind of the mompreneur space, right? So helping moms, you know, we have businesses and kids to manage. So having really solid brain-based tools for parenting, but then also for our businesses, understanding our teams, maybe if you're in a network marketing company, or just helping us as women be better leaders in our businesses and our families.
Oh, that's neat. And You are Enneagram trained, right? That's why we've got you here as our resident expert for the day.
Yeah. So I have a certification as an Enneagram coach, along with some parent training background, and I'm certified in essential oils, another one of those like brain-based tools. So all these like handfuls of certificates and then a whole lot of experience and heartache and learning the hard way. A lot of, you know, just please don't do what I've had to do to learn the lessons that I've had to learn.
Yeah. You're an Enneagram 7, right?
I am.
Yeah. Okay.
So which is what all the ideas, right? Like I'm like, oh, there's a new idea. Let's do that. So
yeah.
And that was part of my coping with COVID. It's like, well, I'm stuck at home. What else can I get certified in? What else can I learn about?
Totally. Well, let's go through. I thought it would be really fun today to talk about all the different Enneagram types and how they're dealing with the pandemic, and maybe specifically parents, but maybe just in general as well.
Yeah.
So I kind of jot down some ways that I thought, and then I know you jotted down some stuff, and I just thought we could go through type by type.
Yeah, let's do it.
Should we start at the top? Should we start at the bottom? I don't know.
Yeah, let's start. Or we could just like pick a random number. I feel like there's certain numbers that we never, like no one ever starts with, right?
Yeah, you always start at 1 or 9.
Yeah, let's jump. Well, are you a 1?
Yeah.
I mean, we could just start with 1 since you know so much about it.
Sure. Let's go in the right order as a 1 would do.
Yeah.
Well, I have personal experience with this one, right? But for me, it's struggling with the right way to do things. And this is always just a constant in my life, but especially with a pandemic where there may not be a right way to do things, but trying to find that right way and stick to it is the way that I find myself coping with it. And there was something I was listening to recently that helped me reframe Enneagram 1 in my mind. And that was looking at it from like the core motivation standpoint, rather than that like perfectionist or like doing things right. But like the core motivation for the one is to be good, right? And that really resonates with me. And I think that because of that, each one is going to be different in how they handle it based on what they think being good is. So if you're someone who thinks that the good way to be is to follow the rules, then you're probably going to be like, I'm wearing a mask, I'm staying in, and you might get judgy of other people who aren't doing so. Or, you know, the good way to be might be something else to you. But for me, I'm struggling with, for me, the good and right way to be is sort of having care for everyone else in the world, kind of like doing what's good for the common collective good of everyone. And so for me, that's what I'm struggling with, is I want to make sure I care for everyone else and do the things that are good for the common good of everyone. But sometimes I'm having to make choices that are not in line with that. For example, like going back to school, the distance learning was just so painful for us. And I just know that it's going to destroy my mental health if I'm trying to do distance learning for 2 kids and doing it on the schedule that the school wants and the way that the school wants and turning in all those things. And so we're making the choice to homeschool, but I'm having a huge hard time with going against the good way to be, which to me is to support the school system.
So that's so interesting. Yeah. And as you're talking, I'm thinking we could actually start with ones, but do this in the way that we kind of interpersonal coping styles. So like 1s, 2s, and 6s are what we call the dependent stance. They're kind of moving towards people, mm-hmm. is their way to deal with life. And so when we think about something like a pandemic where the idea was to separate from people, the amount of people that we have to move towards or kind of base our experience off of has now shrunk, right? Because mm-hmm. our, you know, throughout the summer, the amount that you're out and about may have changed. But early on, right, we were all pretty much just stuck with whoever lived in your house. And and so I think there is this piece to understand about ones that they're not always rule following perfectionists, but they do have a moral compass for something. And it might be different for everyone, like you said, like the greater good versus you know, being your own worst personal critic versus being critical of other people. It kind of faces mm-hmm. in lots of different directions. Yeah. And I think a really good practice, if you identify with this kind of desire to be good, is to have a really clear definition of what that is mm-hmm. for you, and something that isn't isn't dependent, right? Challenge yourself to have it not be something that other people have control over, that you can kind of control. So bringing back like the definition of success or goodness to, I'm going to feed my body well, or, you know, sleep enough, or whatever those things are, because regardless of what the state of the pandemic is or what the rules are, because they seem to be ever changing, you'll have some grounding practices that kind of define this goodness for you to come back to, which I think can be really important.
Yeah, that does sound really helpful.
So twos are also in the dependent stances. So ones, twos, and sixes. So you want to kind of go out of order and go by, triads.
Two is probably my wing if I have one. So that's great. Let's do that one next.
Okay.
So I was thinking twos probably have a really difficult time with the lack of connection and wanting to still be important in other people's lives, but unable to do that in the way that they're accustomed to.
Yeah, absolutely. And their core desire, again, is to be appreciated, loved, and wanted. And they are, again, very dependent on other relationships. They're kind of measuring, am I okay, by how okay others around them are? And so they kind of solve that by doing what the stereotypical two behavior, which we see, which is helping. How can I serve? How can I help? They may be the ones who are, you know, dropping masks off at their local hospital, or offering to bring meals to first responders, whatever that might be. But this could also be a really exhausting time for a mama who's a two, because your people, again, are all around. And so that means that you're kind of constantly feeling on. You're always kind of measuring how is everyone doing, because your sense of yourself is around how everyone else is doing. And so without this time to kind of get away and separate yourself from all this connectedness that you feel pulled to, you can find yourself all of a sudden kind of snapping maybe, and then getting really like, okay, everyone leave. You know, you kind of get to this point where you put up walls really fast, you know, boundaries. So I think a really good practice for a two, especially for moms, is to get some alone time and really put boundaries around it. And probably daily, even if it's just 3 to 5 minutes, you know, put everyone in front of a movie, go to your bedroom, bathroom, wherever, closet, lock the door, and just notice yourself, notice something that you might need. Even when twos are alone, they tend to be thinking about relationships with other people. Like, that's how drawn they are. So get yourself some alone time, and then really think about where your thoughts are going, and really try to see if you can keep them focused on yourself, which, you know, might feel selfish, but it's good for us. It's healthy for us to have this mindful awareness of who we are.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember in the spring when things were feeling especially intense, I was making myself go out for walks as soon as my husband took his lunch break, and just having that me time that was built in.
Yeah, because if you're a two, you can't ignore the people around you, right? You have to give yourself like that physical distance
in order to do it. Yeah. Yeah. So then should we go sixes next?
Yeah. So go sixes, because this is the last number in what we call this dependent stance, where they're really kind of constantly scanning how the world is affecting the people around them. So it's not just them, right? It's them in relationship to other people.
Yeah. So I was thinking about sixes, and I thought, you know, as naturally tending toward anxiety, the fear of everything with this might be really overwhelming. But on the other hand, I think I heard this on another podcast, that this type is the type that's most prepared for things like this because they've naturally thought of everything that could go wrong. And so they might also be the ones that are shining right now, just like pulling all these emergency plans out of their back pocket.
Yeah. I mean, this is really the moment they've been waiting for, right? A lot of sixes identify with having what we call an inner committee, whereas ones kind of have this singular internal critic that is very opinionated. Mm-hmm. Sixes have what we call an inner committee. So they're constantly, again, this dependence on like what other people might be thinking, but in a very sometimes confusing way, because they may have one member of their inner committee who's telling them one thing and one voice that's telling them something else. And so they're often feeling very indecisive.
That sounds maddening.
It does. I know, right? to always be questioning. They're they're a little bit skeptical at heart. I think that some of that like five energy, which is right next door, but never quite trusting themselves either. Mm-hmm. And so this can be especially hard during a pandemic when there's a lot to not be trusted, because not only do you have your inner committee that might be feeding you all the different possibilities from all the different angles, but externally too, we're not sure quite who to believe. If you watch one, you know, news station, you might hear one thing. If you watch another, you might hear another. And then just over time, right, the things that we were hearing at the beginning of the pandemic back in March and April are different than what we're hearing now, sometimes without a good explanation of why it's changed. And so this can be really, really hard for a type six. So if you're a type six that's feeling overwhelmed by all the information and you feel like your inner committee is as loud as ever, you know, find a trusted person in your inner circle who's not a six, mm-hmm. you know, who maybe is a little bit more of a decisive number, who you trust, who you can bounce some of those things off of, and who can really ground you and kind of help you stay focused on some thoughts where you're not so scattered in all of the different things.
Yeah. No, that sounds great. I have, I believe my brother is a six, and I think that there's a lot of that going on, a who to believe and, you know, what, and he's somewhat of a conspiracy theorist as well, which I'm not saying that all sixes are conspiracy theorists, but
it lends itself, right? And, because you have this, all these committees saying, well, what if?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know that he spends a lot of time on the phone with my mom, and my mom is just trying to like walk him through like, that grounding. And that, like, okay, let's look at really what is, you know. So I can see how that would be helpful.
Yeah.
Hi, listeners. If you like what you hear on this podcast and you want to know more and be able to apply this to yourself and your family, remember, this is what I do. And I'm actually really good at it. You've probably heard me say before, the online assessments are notoriously inaccurate. The best way to pinpoint your type is by working with someone like me who is trained to take you through that process. And beyond that, I can help you understand the intricacies of type and how it shows up in your family and causes tension and undesired behaviors in your children that could easily be avoided with a better understanding of type and what your kids need from you. The time and investment that you put into this process will pay off tenfold as you help your kids to develop in a more balanced way. I do all my sessions on Zoom, so you can work with me no matter where in the world you are. You can get this process started or ask me more questions by visiting www.familypersonalities.com and click on book an appointment. Okay, back to the episode.
Sandra, I just heard Bill Burr's rant saying how women should be supporting female athletes and not Real Housewives who just yell at each other.
That's ridiculous. Real Housewives is a sport. Join us on From the Bleachers, where we analyze the strategy and gameplay that our favorite reality stars use to earn additional seasons of play and social media fame.
And if you're lucky, Sandra will pull out her apology play rubric so you can all see what an easy grader I am.
I'm sorry, Mandy, but if you think Monica's apology to Heather on Salt Lake City deserved anything over a 2.5, you're delusional.
Whether we're breaking down confrontation play, relishing the bravo, bravo, bravo moments, or awarding a tardy for the party, we are the only place you'll find in-depth analysis of the plays that your favorite housewives are making on our screens.
From the Bleachers, a Real Housewives game analysis is available everywhere podcasts live.
So another one of the triads is what we call the withdrawing stance. So this would be fours, fives, and nines.
Nines. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Let's do M's type. Let's do fours.
Okay.
I imagine there's a lot of emotional overwhelm, maybe either disappointment over your family's current circumstances or the state of the world, maybe taking on other people's emotions. Is that something that fours do also?
Yeah. Fours and twos both kind of feel all the feelings of all the people around them. Fours, I think it depends on the health of a four. in some ways, fours are almost built for a time such as this because they're okay sitting in some of those big emotions. And there are so many big emotions to be had right now. And that doesn't scare them. It doesn't it can be overwhelming, but in some ways, just having the space, right? This pandemic has kind of given them permission to revel in all the feelings because they haven't had anywhere to go. The expectations of being out and about are much less. So there is some more space, especially if you're single or maybe your job came home and you lost your commute or whatever. But I think this can also be a challenging time for fours because if you're a mom at home and now your kids are at home with all of their feelings and you have your mm-hmm. own feelings, mm-hmm. then I think it does become overwhelming because you are feeling and noticing and fully in tune with all the feelings of all the people and especially the hard feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of hard feelings right now. That's for sure.
Yeah. So I think for fours, I think find a creative outlet because a lot of fours can use creativity as a way to kind of move feelings and emotions and process them. So find some space and some time to do whatever creativity looks like for you, songwriting, poetry, creative writing, art, visual art, hand lettering, you know, anything that you can kind of use. I also had a mom tell me recently that she'll watch just 20 minutes of a movie that she knows makes her cry. Like just the part that she knows, like brings her to tears. Aww. Just to kind of move that emotion, you know, just like kind of have that like big ugly cry, kind of like cleanse it all out to kind of release it because we don't want to keep all those emotions pent up, right? It's okay to feel them, but we want to kind of have a flow of feeling, not just the stuck feeling.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's great. Doing a creative project. I was actually just this morning, Em and I were recording an episode and she's incredibly stressed right now with her campaign because there's, you know, just a couple months left and she's overwhelmed. And I was like, I only have, you know, probably three more episodes we have to record together before you can take, you know, time off from the podcast for the election. And she was like, no, this is my creative outlet. Like, this is what I look forward to, you know? And so I think that definitely rings true for her as a four, is having that creative outlet.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about fives.
Let's talk about my husband. So the first thing I noticed about my husband was that he was going hard on the news and the articles. Like it was on constantly, especially when things were just breaking and starting to get really crazy and out of hand. Like getting his hands on all the information he could was his way of feeling secure. It was the opposite for me. It was stressing me the heck out. But that kind of pulls him away from the family, right? Like it takes him away from being able to connect. And then the second thing is that I imagine for fives, it's really difficult if you are a parent because now you have your entire family home with you all the time and getting that time and space away from others that you need has got to be really difficult for the five because they're trying to conserve resources.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is really overwhelming. I've talked to a couple other five parents who really hit their rock bottom in ways that they have never before this because some of the ways that they were able to kind of keep going and not, you know, have to, their biggest fear, right, is like obliteration, like running out of all the energy. And a lot of times we're talking about the withdrawing stance, right? They withdraw to kind of recharge. If you think about waking up with a half charged battery on your phone and no charger, every day, like the amount of time that they're thinking about, like how much energy will this interaction or this activity discharge from my battery? That's kind of like the running tally that fives always have going on in their mind.
Yeah.
And so in this season where we're not getting breaks from our kids, even our spouses or partners may be home, working from home, it's very easy for fives, I think, to kind of seize up in fear of what could happen to their energy levels in a situation like this. So I think it's super, super important for fives to schedule that time to get away so they can do it in a healthy way rather than a like barking, like I'm done, like get out of my space kind of way, like to kind of be able to set it up, you know, proactively. But then also get really clear on what is your charger? What is your re-energy energizing thing, so that you can kind of have something maybe active, or that you can put yourself in a spot when you are separating yourself from the people in your family. Like, does it recharge you to go to the Starbucks drive-through and drive around for a little bit? Do you need to be out in nature? You know, what are those things? Because all fives, again, are not exactly equal. All the things that recharge you are going to be unique to your thing. So what is the thing that you know that if you can get that for, you know, 5 to 25 minutes a day, is going to help raise that percentage on your battery a little bit to get you through?
Yeah. Let's see. 4s, 5s, and 9s.
Yeah. So 9s.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first thing that I thought of with 9s is that they might be having an especially hard time, harder than normal, tuning into their own needs while they're trying to make sure everyone in the family is getting what they need in the circumstances, because there's so many needs and the needs are just constant when you have kids at home.
Yeah, I think for 9s, it's probably this fluctuating part, right? Where depending on where their health and energy level is, they wake up kind of ready to meet the needs of all the people because they just want there to be that feeling of peace, you know? So it's, what can I make everyone for, you know, their favorite breakfast thing so that everyone starts the day off right? Or because they can forget themselves so quickly and forget their own needs, that they do reach this like wall where what they really want to do, I think a lot of 9s are finding this need to just veg out, Netflix, binge, you know, just with, again, withdraw because they can't get this peace that they desire and long for, because there's not a lot of just peace and harmony to be found in the midst of a pandemic. And so if they can't fix it the way that they, that feels good in their soul, then they're just going to kind of withdraw and probably do mindless things. You know, it's like that soda bottle being shaken and it's kind of just going to pop, you know, like they're okay. They're doing, and then they pop. Whereas like for 1s, it's more like resentment, right? Like the pandemic shaking your soda bottle, and it probably comes out in squirts, like a little resentment here, a little resentment there. It never all of a sudden pops, right? Because that's probably not the good way to be. But for 9s, it's kind of like they repress it until they can't anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine it's not just the pandemic, but also the everything political that's going on, and it's just the environment right now is very high conflict, and you can't go online without seeing arguments erupting or turn on the news or anything else. So yeah, that probably escape is really big right now for the 9s.
Yeah. And I think like an actual like media fast, you know, kind of staying off places where, you know, it's just going to be conflict. It's going to kind of eat away at your soul is probably a really good practice for 9s. They also kind of don't feel like their presence matters. And so if there's a lot of activity at home because all of your people are at home, you may be just constantly bowing to what other people want, how they want to spend the time, what's on the TV, what you're having for dinner. You're probably asking everyone else, well, what do you want to have? What do you want to watch? So, you know, giving yourself a day, maybe every week, or a meal a week, where you eat what you want to eat. You know, you make for dinner what you want to make for dinner, and in asserting your opinion, you know, at least once a week into something that you can kind of remember, like, oh yeah, I'm a person with needs and opinions. So you're not just kind of melding with everyone else's.
That's great advice. All right, who's left?
All right, so we have the independent or the assertive folks left. So that's 3s, 7s, and 8s.
Right. Well, I was thinking about 3s a little bit, and I thought that they might be struggling to try and keep up the same pace on their work and their projects as they did prior to the pandemic. But now with the children home and the family home, or added responsibilities or whatever it is in your family situation, that might be really difficult to keep up that pace. And now with all these extra things on top.
Well, and 3s had their whole year planned out probably in November of last year, right? Because they're super goal oriented. They probably had different benchmarks and things that they wanted to hit. And of course, that a lot of that had to be pivoted, changed, rethought, because either maybe you're a mompreneur, you're working from home, and your time to work is when your kids are at school. And so now you're having to figure out how to, you know, chase your goals and your dreams with kids underfoot, you know, or if you have a job outside of the home, everything has changed. You know, the way that you interact with your team, the way that benchmarks are hit or not hit, you know, everyone had to pivot and change. So I think that can be really hard. I think threes either have, I think most of them have been able to pivot to kind of embrace this, right? They're the strategists at heart. And so they are probably just constantly re-strategizing. And so it may be a little bit more energy than they're used to expending, but they probably don't know how to be any other thing than that. So that, you know, every time there's a new curveball thrown their way, they just, you know, they probably,
they're on top of it.
Yeah. They just figure out what to do. And like, unlike these, the dependent or withdrawing stance, they're just going to keep charging ahead. They're not going to give up. They're not going to care about what anyone else is doing. They're going to be singularly focused on what their family needs to hit. And so whether that be professionally or even like, I can see it with school, you know, this is going to be our strategy for tackling virtual school, or we're going to pivot, we're going to homeschool, and this is how we're going to knock it out of the park, right? So there's like all these different pieces now that threes could be strategizing around that maybe they haven't had to before. And so I think it is really important for threes, I think, to put into their goal planning, and this is kind of how threes have to work it, right? To make it a goal to do something restorative so that you don't burn yourself out. Make it a goal to drink 8 glasses of water a day. Make it a goal to get out and walk 6 days a week. Track it in your planner. Do something, gamify it in some way.
Yeah.
And add that to your list.
Maybe even a goal to take that special time to deepen connection with your kids.
Yeah. And for those of you who are relational, like ones, twos, and sixes, this might sound like so cheap, like that you have to kind of set it as a goal in your planner, but it's not, you know, it's just the way that their brains work. And so I think, like you said, if it's not in the planner, it's probably not going to happen. And it doesn't mean that they won't be there 100% when it's their chance or their designated time to do it, but it kind of has to be there, or else they just get so, their horse blinders are on to so many other things.
Yeah. So let's see, threes, sevens.
I'm a seven. I can tell you all about how sevens are feeling or not feeling, as it were, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is like literally the worst thing a seven could ever imagine living through, is like a pandemic with all the big emotions and we're stuck in them. They're not going anywhere. We're stuck at home. We can't travel. We can't see friends. We can't try out new restaurants. I mean, pretty much the pandemic took away like all of our coping mechanisms, except for shopping online, which has been my vice in the pandemic. I'm like, okay, so I can't go out and see my friends. I can't eat out. I can't, you know, I'm like, well, but I can see what else I'm missing in the world. You know, what can I experience by shopping, you know, some new thing? I need a new package to arrive every day, something new to explore, to look forward to. I'm finding that my focus has been just really off too. I think seven's coping mechanism is to jump to a new thing so they don't have to get stuck in this hard feeling. So I'm like, a new business idea, a new shopping thing, a new whatever, you know, planning the next trip. A lot of sevens are, you know, keeping their eye on all the flights that have been, you know, drastically reduced, and keeping an eye on, you know, which countries they can go to and whether or not they'll have to quarantine and all of these things. So I think a good practice for sevens is to really notice some of the harder feelings, give yourself time to process them, journal them, even if you have to journal them and burn them so that no one finds them, so there's no evidence that you had all these feelings, do that too. But don't just shove them aside. Don't just keep running from them, because we're in this for the long haul and we are only going to be able to run from them for so long.
Yeah. I mean, the sevens that I know they are finding their own ways to keep life exciting. Like you said, you're doing the online shopping. And then, you know, I have another friend her husband got laid off, and they just hopped in their little Airstream and just like went and stayed in their little Airstream, but they like just went and like traveled for a while, because they were like, we just can't sit in this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, sevens, find some other sevens who are doing similar things, because I think to maybe the ones out there or a worried six, you know, sevens are so desperate to kind of escape this that it may seem that they're being careless, or, you know, we're probably not the most cautious population around, you know, we have a line to one, like, so we'll probably wear our masks and all the things, but we may be more willing, like, we'll be the first ones when the movie theater opens, right, to be trying it out. Like, my husband and I were the first, like, in Maryland, restaurants opened for outdoor seating, you know, a couple months ago on a Friday at 5:00, and like at 5:45, we were sitting down at a restaurant outside, you know, like, yeah, we couldn't wait. So, and that's not going to be everyone's cup of tea for sure. So find another seven that is willing to kind of, you know, jump ahead early to some of those more social things as they start to open up, and, you know, don't force your one, you know, person out of their comfort zone or whatever, but find another seven who's willing to go, you know, be on the front end of all the new things opening back up.
Yeah, totally. For me, I'm like, let's give those theaters a year before we get back into them. So eights, this is eights who have a fear of being controlled, right? And also a desire to control others and their outer world. So how does that manifest? I'm wondering, is it a resistance to being controlled and having to be told where they can go and where they can't be and wearing a mask? Or is it more of a trying to put control on others around them, like control how your spouse is handling it, how your friends are handling it, how your children are doing their at-home studies? Or what do you think?
I think it, again, we talked about how ones, it shows up, like, what's the definition of good? Who are you trying to make good? I think it's the same for eights. You know, it depends on how you're wired. It might be an outward facing control. It might be an inward facing control. I think it's important to remember that eights are looking for that control because they have this very vulnerable center that they're trying to protect, and control helps them protect that. But they also have an extreme sense of justice. And so their need to control also is for the underdog. It's for making sure that the world is a just place. And I think that's hard in a pandemic because they have lost a lot of control, but there also have been there's a lot of places to hone this sense of injustice towards. And it can, and eights are quick to anger is how they're going to respond to that. And so I think there's like their own household situation, but even from a probably more global way of thinking about how is this control that's being leveraged, how is that affecting the justice? And are there people that are being unjustly affected by some of this control? And I think that's where we're going to see eights start to stand up. Again, they're 3, 7s and eights are independent, assertive. They're going to let their opinion be known, you know, kind of no matter what anyone else thinks. And so I think we're going to see a lot of eights standing up for special needs within the schools that may not be being addressed through virtual learning. We're going to see them maybe standing up for, you know, they may see injustice in the healthcare system, or we're going to see it pop its head depending on their personality and their leaning in a lot of different ways. But eights tend to just be all in people as well. And so they're also very body oriented, very gut oriented. And so I think for eights, it's really important that for everyone, but especially for eights, that eights keep themselves moving, because this sense of anger and the sense of injustice, it's going to build up in their bodies, and it's eventually going to shut them down. And so they really need a way to kind of move this sense of injustice, this sense of anger, the way to exert themselves. One of the ways they can do that is to control their body and to get really physical. So they are the ones who may not need to just stroll around the block. They may need to go out and run, you know, 2 or 3 miles, you know, a day or whatever, you know, or to lift some weights to really like feel their body, feel their strength of their body, I think can be really grounding. So they're going to look for the workouts that are a little bit more intense, and that's going to help them kind of keep some of this stress at bay.
Yeah, that's great advice. I just had Meredith Atwood on the podcast, who's an Enneagram 8 parent, and she is a triathlete, and I think she did maybe a couple Ironmans, and so I think that she has discovered her way to move that anger through.
Yeah, and that's for the sense, like, if you're a mom, like that's going to keep us sane, right? So that we're not pointing all of that energy towards our kids, right? Because we're also all stuck at home. And so you may be feeling injustice at the pandemic as a whole, but then our people that are closest to us, our kids, our spouse, are going to be in the, you know, in the danger zone of all of that anger and energy, kind of not having a place to go unless we do something like, you know, of kind of this physical release of it. So it's for the sake of all of your people around you.
Yes. Well, this was really fun. I hope that people get something out of this and it helps them through the pandemic a little bit more and helps you understand maybe how your spouse is dealing with the pandemic or, you know, your friends and a little bit maybe on how you can help them. But yeah, let's do it again, Melissa. I really enjoy having you on to talk about Enneagram.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I was just thinking like a practical application is I think when someone's angry, right, we were just talking about eights, we tend to get angry back. We tend to escalate it. But if you know that your spouse might be an eight or you have this hunch they might be and you see this anger rather than kind of squelching it or being like, why are you so angry, you know, kind of like escalating it or scolding it or, you know, telling them to cut it out or stop yelling at the kids, right? You could offer like, hey, why don't you like grab your shoes and go for a run? You know, like you could offer something because a lot of times that anger, we take it personally, right? And so then we react in a certain way. I think the Enneagram gives us so much more grace and compassion to say like, oh, this is something that tells me that somebody in my space might be struggling. And so what's a way to offer them to work through that rather than to, you know, be offended and kind of, you know, create more conflict.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I can see that with all the types is that like, and you know, with my own personal situation with married to a five, seeing him withdraw into the news and like away from us can sometimes that feels personal. Like, oh, you don't want to spend time with us. You're off in your own thing. But I think that taking a minute to think, oh, this person is actually struggling and this is what they're doing when they struggle is that they're withdrawing and it doesn't have to do with me. And what can I do for them? Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, cool. Let's keep in touch and come back on again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me so much, Sandra. It was fun as always.
Whew. I'm so glad Melissa was able to join us again. She always has so much great Enneagram insight to share. What stuck out for you in this episode? Did you agree with what was laid out for your type or did you have different thoughts on it? Is there something that you super resonated with? Head to the website www.familypersonalities.com/podcast and click on this episode and you can leave a comment in the show notes about your thoughts. Also, you can email us familypersonalitiespod@gmail.com and let us know what you thought. Melissa has a free ebook called The Enneagram for Busy Parents. And if you head to www.thecorkboardonline.com/familypersonalities, you can download that ebook for free. You can check Melissa out on Instagram. Her handle is Enneagram on the Go. And also check out her podcast, which is called The Adoption Connection. I really enjoy diving into Enneagram, and I'm really glad we got to do that today. But next episode, we're heading back into Myers-Briggs. We're going to talk about kids, and we're going to go specifically into that first letter choice in Myers-Briggs, the I versus the E, the introversion versus the extroversion. And we're going to talk about first how you determine which preference your child has, and then what do they need based on this preference. And this one can seem kind of basic, like, oh, you know, I'm introverted, I'm extroverted. And sometimes we give it a little thought to that. Sometimes we don't put enough thought into what that means for ourselves or for our children. And so we're really going to dive into the different needs that introverted kids have versus extroverted kids and that extroverted kids have versus introverted kids. Also, before you listen to next episode, you might want to go to my website and download the free guide that I have for determining whether your child prefers introversion or extroversion. This is a new download I have up on my website. And it just kind of walks you through how to determine which preference your child has when it comes to introversion or extroversion. You can head to the website, familypersonalities.com/downloads. And it might be a really good resource for you to have either alongside the episode or in addition to it. So check that out. So make sure you subscribe so you don't miss an episode of the podcast. And would love it. would love it, love it, love it if you could leave us a review on iTunes. That really, really helps us out. Share us with your friends if you enjoy listening and you know a friend who might also get something out of this. Send them an episode. Tell them about us. You can email us at familypersonalitiespod@gmail.com. Find me on Instagram at familypersonalities, on Facebook at FAM Personalities, and on my website at www.familypersonalities.com. We'll see you next time. That's it for our show this week. We would like to apologize to our children, our parents, our spouses,
and anyone else we may have lovingly thrown under the bus this episode.
Thank you for listening, and catch us next time on the Family Personalities Podcast.